from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Molina.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris, Joe Fisher with you.
Let's go. Let's get it.
Oh, hello. Hello.
I already failed my homework assignment of not looking up let's go in another language.
I already forgot about that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I literally remembered it as I was saying. I was like, oh, yeah.
You could have said nothing. And that would have sufficed.
I'm trying to get more cultural in here, you know? I'm trying to respect some people in the... what's going on? What's happening over there?
The sound on this TV was on.
God. Get it together.
Whoa, I didn't do it.
I'm not doing my job. You're not doing your job.
Whoa,
what's happening? Heads are falling off.
Whoa. Whoever put the sound on this computer, that is not on me. If it was like every time I log in, there's a sound and I got to turn it off, I would be on top of that.
All right. Oh, let's do let's go in Hindi. Chaldar.
Chaldar.
Yeah, I'm probably saying that 100% incorrect, but Chaldar, let's go.
Where are we going?
You have a spicy lentil wrap with spicy tahini sauce over there. What kind of food is that technically? Is that Mediterranean?
I don't know. I was trying to tell you, lentils, they grow a ton of lentils in eastern Washington and western Idaho. And so I have been to the Lentil Fest in Pullman
many times. A terrible festival to
go to. It's a wonderful festival.
The Lentil Festival?
Yeah, a lot of people make like chili and some lentil soups, and then they got bands and beverages.
Hot take, lentil might be one of the most garbage foods out there.
Well, there's a lot of, and by a lot, I mean billions of people that eat lentils because it's really cheap.
Yeah, I get it.
It's like rice.
Yeah, but it is 2024. We don't have to eat lentils. This is my opinion about a lot of different foods that some people still choose to eat, is that, hey, it's 2024. We can get a little bit creative, and we can kind of just, you know, nix some stuff. And I feel like lentils, leave them in the Middle Ages.
I'm completely fine with lentils. Plus, when you eat this wrap, it is delicious.
Is there any meat in there?
Like, there's none.
So veggie wrap, huh?
So the lentil is the protein source?
It is pure vegan. The lentil is the protein source.
You don't strike me as a vegan guy.
And the best part about it
are you going vegan?
It helps you poop.
That's
no, I'm not going vegan, but I like good food. I don't care if it's vegan, veggie, meat, or whatever. I just like good food.
Well, staying regular is very helpful too.
What was that diet that you went on a few years ago?
Whole 30.
Whole 30. Remember that.
Whole 30 is actually great.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you, so we don't continue Whole 30, but we still keep a lot of great things we learn from Whole 30. The biggest one being added sugar. Like, why does this box of mac and cheese have added sugar?
Why not? So it doesn't taste like cardboard.
Because the added sugars are what makes you die sooner.
Well, added sugars also. Thank you to Big Sugar lobbying us on the big old Capitol Hill. Like, yeah. They make sure that sugar's in everything.
And keep doing it, all right? I love sugar.
Big sugar, big tobacco, big avocado.
Ooh.
Big avocado? Isn't that just the cartels?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Are cartels just running the avocado ring down there?
Could you not argue that Big Sugar is a cartel?
They do say that it has the same qualities, chemicals in your brain that like doing coke does, right?
Yeah, you get addicted in the same way you do to cocaine.
I would rather do cocaine than sugar all day. You can't snort sugar. I tried that with a pixie stick. It was terrible.
Well, again, you don't snort sugar, and I think that I would much rather... Yeah, just spend my money on sugar every day than on cocaine.
Maybe you haven't had good cocaine. Here. Maybe this is like a meatloaf conversation. Like, I don't really like meatloaf, and everybody says, well, you just haven't had good meatloaf. And I always say, well, you haven't had good dog ass either, so I don't know what to tell you.
Vancouver Ford Line says I am ignorant about Indian food. That is not true. I love me some butter chicken, all right? Butter chicken is fantastic.
That's like, I love Thai food. Pad Thai is amazing.
Hey, all right.
Way to expose your white
self. Indian food, all right? Does butter chicken fall into the category of Indian food?
In America, yes.
Yes, then I like Indian food.
But what about paneer cheese or bel puri, which is like a street food kind of thing?
I've never had either of those.
Well, those are great.
I mean, I like cheese.
Paneer cheese is great. It's like a tofu texture.
No, thanks.
But it's cheese.
You shouldn't have said tofu.
You guys don't like tofu?
No. Yeah. Another one. I'll do miso soup. It's 2024. Leave it in the 80s, the 70s. Like, we don't need to eat tofu. What was the other one that you said?
Paneer.
No, paneer. And what else? What was
that? Bel puri.
Bel puri? Bel puri.
Yeah, you ever been to Bollywood theater on like Alberta or Hawthorne?
There's a Bollywood, restaurant over off of Division.
Oh, it's Division. Sorry, yeah. It's Division and Alberta.
It's right.
Great food.
It's walking distance to my girlfriend's house, and there's definitely some smells that waft from that place that are enticing. I would like to go there someday.
I've been there many, many times. It's wonderful. Indian food's fantastic. Plus curry. Plus you get a ton of curry.
Oh, dude, I had a fantastic curry a couple weeks ago from a farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God, it was, dude. I am fully curry converted. And okay, this is where the text line might be a little bit right. I never really cared for curry. I never really got its jam and why people loved it so much. That curry changed my opinion very much so.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, the white people and other...
Dude, I grew up on hot dogs on white bread, all right?
Is that a sandwich?
Yeah, well, it could
I think
be.
Technically
in that,
on white
in that
bread
sense, yeah.
On white bread, yeah.
On a slice of white bread, yes.
I will expose this tomorrow. The Primetime Boys will be at 10 Barrel in the Pearl to launch the new sponsor for the Club Hour. I won't get into any more than that. But
are
I
you
happen,
allowed to say that?
I happen to work there, and there is a great Thai joint just next door, Khao San. And I remember asking a bunch of people that worked there when I first got hired. I was like, hey, how's the Thai joint? Because I really love Asian food. I'm more of a Viet Japanese guy, but I will get into some New York kitchen Chinese, actual Chinese, and some Korean food and et cetera, et cetera. But I was interested. I said, hey, how's the Thai food? And they said, oh, man, it's absolutely amazing. And I was like, oh, that's great, because then I can grab some food from there if I don't want to eat our food. And then I realized everyone only orders pad thai.
Yeah.
And do you know many places that make bad pad thai?
I mean, I've run into a couple, but it's few and far
between. Few and far between, right. So then I walked in and I was like, what should I get? And they were like, do you just want pad thai? And I was like, absolutely
that's
not.
That's racist.
Absolutely not.
That's ignorant.
I want to know what you're really good at. And they like lit up.
Aww.
They were so excited that I wanted real food.
There's another place off Division, and that's I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I had something like a Kalman guy.
Kalman guy.
Yeah, that was fire.
Kalman guy's great.
Give it to me with some spice as well.
Yeah, you get some Pad CU in your life, Pad Prick King. Like, there's a lot of great Thai food you can
find. Now I'm hungry. I'm about to text a girlfriend as far as what she's got whipping up for dinner after the show.
Get some paneer and bel puri from Bollywood.
I don't know if they're going to be open when I get over there, but it does have to happen. Listen, the lady friend has definitely opened my life and my eyes to a lot of different things that I would have never tried.
Can I ask a non-racist question?
Go for it.
Is she white?
No, she is not.
Boom.
She is Korean and Filipino.
Boom.
Yeah. And I thank her very much for it because, yeah, her palate is much, 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 much better than mine. And I thought I was a good cook. She is throwing down in the kitchen, and she makes it seem so easy. I am frantic in the kitchen when I am cooking stuff. It is stressful. I make it happen, but she just throws things together within like 20, 30 minutes. I'm like, you just made this? She's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah. What am I worried about?
I'm very much jealous, but thankful.
Oakley doakley. Well, we got a show for you tonight.
Now I'm hungry.
There's a lot to get into. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into maybe the wildest thought that baseball's had in a while, and that's really saying something. But we're going to sit here in the first hour and talk about adios, muchachos. Is the final death nail here? And after some things have gone on over the last few days, there's a lot to digest. There's a lot about the future, the current, what's going to go. We'll dive into that next, as there is one team in baseball that is in an absolute free fall, and we can't ignore it. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos, as he's always here. This is 1080 The Fan. 7:15 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further when you choose Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. They're coming in hot. Some places make superior pad Thai, but once again, like lentils, can often be boring. I have had ultra level pad Thai, though.
What is ultra level?
I don't know.
It's like the final boss of pad Thai.
You get to the final level of Zelda, and they offer you pad Thai, and you're like, oh, and I'm dead.
Yeah, we need to talk baseball, because I am extremely hungry. I did not eat that much today, and now I'm just thinking of my girlfriend's cooking, and now I'm a little upset.
So you know, I am not going to eat all of this spicy lentil wrap. You're welcome to have half of it.
I am not.
Expand your mind.
I might try a bite.
Yeah, expand your mind. The sauce is good, too.
I will always try everything. But I am not afraid to tell someone, no, that is trash, and I will have no more.
Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we will introduce Joe to a spicy lentil wrap.
Is that TJ, Trader Joe's?
Trader Joe's. So it's like white people-ified.
Trader Joe's does not miss, all right?
It's white people-ified.
They usually are on point with their little deli foods.
So we'll get to Joe eats a spicy lentil wrap, and also a new projection of potential rule changes in baseball. And let's just remember, nobody hates baseball more than baseball. So we got a big 8 o'clock hour to get ahead to. And we'll see what this hour gets into, because we're going to open this up and we're going to let this breathe. And by mean breathe, I mean like really let it go and really see how far we can dive into what the hell is going on right now. And my friends, I present to you a team that was once 10 games ahead in their division, is now 5 games back in their division. My friends, adios, muchachos.
I just had to.
I ask this one simple question, my friends. Are the Seattle Mariners done?
Oh, dude, cooked. Absolutely cooked. Like some pad Thai.
Is this like a Donald Trump well done steak right now?
This is, listen, when we got to the trade deadline, I remember I was sitting here like, well, I think that the Mariners made the better moves.
Like Justin Turner, Rosarena, looked like they won the trade deadline.
Jimmy Garcia.
Julio's coming back.
Pretty sure Jimmy Garcia himself has given up 3 home runs to give up the lead in games, but I digress.
Yeah. So I sit here and I ask you, everybody has bad slumps. You know, you win games, you lose games. It doesn't help that the Astros have been hot lately.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts. And you saw that Verlander is almost back.
I thought that he got announced that he is back and that he's slated to start here soon.
So my question to you, Joseph Fisher the Third, are the Mariners cooked?
Yes. Is this over? Yes. Put a fork in them, as they say. It's the vibes, the momentum. Like, you made those moves at the deadline, and again, it started okay for the first couple of days, but you're now 5 games back. Like, in the blink of an eye, it's like, oh no, like, we're not just losing this division, we are slowly falling back and losing our grip on even competing for it anymore.
When your offense starts to be compared to the Chicago White Sox,
yeah,
we have issues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how bad it is. I want to say that their batting average is what, like, at a solid, like, 212?
No, that would put it at worst ever. It's 215 right
215.
Now.
215. Excuse me.
They're on pace to maybe catch the worst ever, which I think is like the 67 Yankees or 68 Yankees at 214.
Hey, and that's batting average,
the night is still young,
strikeout ratio. And that's the one thing that I think that's the most alarming. Is like, we've sat here over the last few years and kind of looked at the home run surge, where there's a lot of people that want to talk about strikeouts aren't that big a deal. A strikeout and a single are about the same. Let me tell you what, if you're a Seattle Mariner, I would take a single over a strikeout 1,000% of the time.
Well, can I add that strikeouts are made up with power usually. So when you see strikeouts happening, good players are able to stay out there because they hit home runs, they hit doubles, they bring runs in, and the slugging percentage is usually a lot higher. I don't think anybody on the Mariners has over like a 450 slugging percentage at this point.
And I know there's some managerial comments. I want to hold off on those. We'll get to those in about 10, 15 minutes. But I don't understand. I know there was a lot of talk. Like, remember when T-Mobile was built? We like to coin the phrase, the house that Griffey built, you know, because the Mariners in the 90s were so great that they finally got a brand new stadium. And look, T-Mobile to this day is a top 5 stadium in baseball to visit. Wonderful, wonderful place to catch a game.
And it's held up since it got
built. As a longtime Indians fan, I'd go up there almost every single year and I'd walk around and go, man, this place is amazing. But can you really say, you know, like they say it about Citi Field in New York, like, can you really say that this stadium is why you don't hit well?
No, because you're batting 222 away from it.
Yeah, this is not about, like, yeah, it's hard to hit home runs in Seattle, but doubles, singles are still there for the taking.
Now, you can pull all the metrics you want, and I was looking at an article today about the pitchers and, like, some of their performance differentials, home versus away, and even those stats backed it up, that they are better pitchers at home versus when they're on the road.
Sure, you got a little home field advantage.
Yeah, but
sleep in your bed, and the dimensions are nice.
And the article is trying to, you know, kind of make the case that it's because of the batter's eye, and that this is it. And we already know it's not a hitter friendly park, but this whole last month or so, and now it's funny, we've gotten to the point where we're just like, oh my god, this team just, they, because now they're on a road trip and they still can't hit. And the argument about them starting a month ago was like, well, I don't know, the batter's eye, the way that the stadium is, like, maybe the case, but this team can't hit home or away.
What is it, do you think, Joe, that if a guy like Justin Turner or Rosarena walk in to the team, those are proven vets. I mean, Randy Rosarena is this side of Carlos Beltran, a postseason monster. And Justin Turner's been in the league for 15 years, whatever it is. How is it that these guys show up, have 3 games of good offense, and then all of a sudden are gone?
I don't know. It's very bizarre, like, how nobody on this team can hit. Like, not one. Like, Julio is the exception, and that is barely an exception at this point. And luckily, since the All-Star break and when he came back from the injury, he's been a little bit better. But, again, it is so bizarre watching this entire team and nobody hit outside of Victor Robles.
Which is insane.
I can't.
Extension, Victor Robles.
Yeah, he's actually, since the extension, not hitting. It's like crazy. Well, no, I take that back. He got a couple RBIs with one hit. But it is interesting to see people, like, not maybe wanting to blame the coaching as much. But I'm looking at this organizational approach, y'all. I mean, it's like a 27%+ strikeout rate. That is higher than any kind of team, even mediocre teams, should be. Bad teams don't have that. Like, it's just so bad game after game to come out looking at strike three, seeing strike one going down the middle without them swinging. I don't understand if it's just like a lack of confidence or if you're looking at the approach from the top down and nobody's getting right. I mean, it's too small of a sample size, but you do wonder why Ty France all of a sudden is hitting .270 and three bombs in Cincinnati and Justin Turner's coming in hitting .160 in Seattle. It's like, what, 3 weeks? But you still at least wonder.
And like I said, I want to hold off on managerial front office stuff because I want to get into that in about, you know, 8-10 minutes. And we will go there because that does need to be discussed. But we're also just talking about professionals here. People that, especially after the trade deadline, guys that make a career, make their living on hitting the baseball, that all of a sudden cannot hit the baseball. Like, is there something in the water? Is it elevation? I mean, is it the weather? Like, is Seattle so fun that they can't focus on baseball? I don't understand it. This is the stat that I will throw out. I heard this stat, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. And we can go on for eons and eons about this pitching staff, and this pitching staff is unequivocally the best in baseball. I will not hear an argument from anyone else.
I want to say their five starters all have a sub-4 ERA.
This starting pitching staff reminds me of the Braves in the 90s, except for 4 and 5 are as good as Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin. And I'm not going there, but I'm saying statistically, that's how good it looks. Since the All-Star break, the Seattle Mariners have thrown 20 quality starts. If you don't know what a quality start is, that's 6 innings with 3 or less runs. In those 20 games, the Seattle Mariners are 9-11. 9-11.
That's disgusting.
And I would love to see how many of those guys threw into the 7th, because I'll bet you it's 10 of those 20. And you are 9-11.
Yeah.
I thought this bullpen was good. This bullpen is not good.
Well, you're not giving the bullpen any run support. Like, even if you are taking it into the late into the game with a lead, it's maybe a 1-2 run lead. Honestly, I feel like I have never seen anything like this. I mean, we're getting to that territory as far as, like, worst batting average, worst hitting team of all time. So, I mean, literally, I mean, I would have to go and look up historical seasons of teams with the worst batting performance, hitting performance of all time collectively. But again, just like looking at a team that is this dominant on one side of the game in pitching and then this poor on the batting hitting side, I have never seen a bigger disparity on a single team than this Mariners team this year.
It's like 100-win pitching staff and then 100-loss, like, group of hitters.
Yes.
It's so crazy.
You're literally worse at hitting than the White Sox at this point.
I have this stat from...
And they could be the worst team of all time.
I have this stat from Sunday. Okay. So that we don't count last night's absolute disaster against the Dodgers.
10 more strikeouts last night, by the way.
On June 18th, the Seattle Mariners had a 91.7% chance to make the playoffs.
Yep.
As of Sunday, 21.4.
Yeah.
That's a drop in 70%.
Yeah, Do you know in that stretch they have the second worst record in all of Major League Baseball?
Behind the Chicago White Sox.
It's like, are you freaking kidding me?
I want to say that it was a graphic the other day, teams with the biggest jump in playoff odds and then biggest drop in playoff odds over whatever time frame. I don't know if it was June, May, what have you. I can find it, but Mariners were the number one team on that list as far as odds dropping over the length of time. I'll find it for you.
I think a big part of this is that players got to play, and players aren't playing right now. But this is where, like, look, longtime Cleveland guy, okay? Longtime Cleveland guy, current Cleveland guy, thank God. Longtime Cleveland guy, and I've watched Charlie Manuel, Mike Hargrove, Eric Wedge, Manny Acta, the beautiful and wonderful Hall of Famer Terry Francona, and now Stephen Vogt. Find a bunch of dudes that don't know how to play baseball and make them play baseball. So that's where the next question is. Where does management fall into this? And I'm not just saying the hitting coach, the offensive coordinator, the pitching coach, the manager. I'm talking front office and everything. And that's what really needs to be addressed with this team.
Funny enough, the three of those guys that you just mentioned ended up working for the Mariners, including Manny Acta right now. It's just crazy.
And that's where I want to go next, is where does this lie? Because I'm now starting to read conspiracy theories on how the rest of this season will go to make sure certain people stay where they are. We'll get to that next. There's so much more to dive into this insane collapse. And we'll stick with the Mariners, so don't go anywhere. This is the Hot Corner, and we'll send it over to Schultzy with sports.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Friendly reminder, you can check us out on YouTube. We are on youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. You can catch all shows here on The Fan on YouTube. And also, if you miss any of it, you can catch that on the Odyssey app. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Coming from the 503, the Mariners have been a wreck since last season, ditching Teoscar and Eugenio. I almost said Eugenio. And that's how distant Eugenio feels right now.
Eugenio!
Were ridiculous moves. The idea that this lineup as constructed could compete long-term is laughable, as they can't hit most pitchers. Cal and JP and the entire starting rotation deserves much better. That's our friend JR. And that's the truth. I mean, you look around, and JP's been hurt. So that's a little tough. And I would argue that JP, in a sense, was the MVP of the team, of the hitting last year. You know, Julio and Cal, like, Cal had big moments with his home runs, and Julio being the prospect and future that he is speaks for themselves. But the team went as JP went. And I think they are missing that a little bit, but you can't tell me that a career 260 hitter is the catalyst that's really preventing you from being great. And also coming in, Seattle's coaching stinks. How do you coach collapse? But that's where I want to come in right now, is like that. That's the conversation, is Scott Servais. I think there's a lot to really enjoy about Scott Servais. What I like about him is he's a little old school meets new school. He doesn't get rattled. He's the kind of guy that's like, look, we had a bad night. We're going to be fine. Look at the guys on the list. We're going to be okay. We're going to go through. But then you start having press conferences when you lose to the Dodgers in a fashion like last night, where it's like, well, we got to score runs. And it's like, yeah, Scott, thanks. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? It's now at a point where it's like, if I spend too much time at the bar, my wife's like, you got to spend less time at the bar. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then I have to think to myself, well, how am I going to do that? I like going to the bar. I have no answer. And that's kind of where Scott Servais is right now. As a manager, you got to kind of figure it out. I was watching Cleveland, New York today. I believe that game is still tied 3-3. And I was talking with a buddy, and we're big fantasy, and he has Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis, who have been great save-hold guys for Cleveland. But Stephen Vogt is now bringing them in high leverage situations and not in fantasy situations, because Stephen Vogt is now managing for the playoffs. He is now saying, I am not going to put my starter in for 2-3 more outs. I'm going to pull him early and I'm going to let my bullpen do the job. Like, he is making moves. He is deciding. They trade for Lane Thomas. He's not been very good, so he doesn't play. And I haven't really seen anything from Scott Service to say, how do we move this around? Like, maybe Julio bats leadoff. Maybe try batting Julio in sixth. Maybe get Justin Turner in the two hole or try him in the eight. I don't see Service doing anything to try and shake things up. Well, we're going to have Garver behind the plate and Raleigh DH? That's not it. When does this truly, truly fall on Service? And I'll also ask the other question, is this a Service problem?
It's kind of a catch-22, because at what point can you belabor the point, like, guys, we got to hit. Guys, we got to hit. Guys, we need to hit.
Yeah, you're like looking at him like,
What else do I need to say?
Yeah, like, yeah. How do I motivate you?
Yeah, I can't go out there and do it, for God's sakes. But he has been there. I mean, God, what are we going on?
This is 10
years? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel that this is going to be his last season. Like, this is kind of going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
But what's the new voice that changes things? Is to counter. To counter. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Preaching situational hitting.
But how do you preach that to guys that can't hit a ball in any situation?
Well, they're not being preached the right thing. I'm telling you, it's Service. It's the fired Brant Brown. I just heard Jeff Passan in an interview with the Seattle Sports Station today talking about how his sources, hitters on the Mariners anonymously, are coming to him and saying that even since Brant Brown was fired, the message from hitting coaches or whoever's kind of playing hitting coach that day is inconsistent. And when players are going through struggles, you need a consistent voice at the top. Scott Service isn't a hitting coach. Manny Act is not a hitting coach. They didn't even have a bench coach for like 4 years because the Mariners have been running their coaching staff, in my opinion, in a super weird, just like general assignment to this guy kind of way. I don't like it. That approach, you see Justin Turner come in. What does he do? He takes his two-strike pitch on the outside, corner of the zone, and he just puts the ball on it and he hits it into right field. Tell me any other Mariner besides Julio and Cal that have been able to do that this year. I'm still looking at the stats. I'm super interested to see if 1-9 the Mariners are hitting to the middle of the park and hitting away. I would bet, though, that they are not, and that is because they are missing those opportunities with strikes down the middle on that fastball coming down strike one, and then when you're striking out instead of just trying to put the bat on the ball, they're doing too much.
I'm going to push this to another level. Coming in on the YouTube chat here, DePoto is probably stressing because they're just under the 54% win markage, and that's a really funny statement. And I laugh, and I'm really glad I said it because I got a chuckle out of both of you. But when does this leave Scott Service? When does this become a DePoto situation? Because I'm ready to put a tinfoil cap on. I read something the other day on Reddit, so take it for what it's worth. But somebody mentioned something that was fascinating to me. There was talk during Pittsburgh that when they get home after their road series, that Service is going to get fired. However, Service is going to make it till the end of the year, because if he gets fired now and they don't make the playoffs, then that looks bad on DePoto. So are we now sitting here in a position to save DePoto's job? Like, when does that question really hang?
Also, like, what does firing Scott Service do? Right
well,
now.
Right, because you're just going to promote somebody from the bench.
No, yes, kill it all and either bring in new coaches or somebody from the minors.
Can you bring in a new coach on August
20th?
Yes,
you get rid of seven guys.
Who, Joe Madden?
Go call Ned Yost. I don't care. Joe Madden's out there? Sure, anybody.
Joe Girardi?
Joey Cora, former Mariners second baseman, interviewed for like 20 managerial jobs, never got one.
I do there's love Joey Cora.
There's a ton of names out there.
Is Grady Sizemore available?
Hey, technically he is.
Yeah, getting rid of Service, like, let him finish out the season, see if somehow, some way you guys can turn it around. I mean, we've got, 30, 35 games left. You're 5 games back. Anything can happen. But we have such a large sample size at this point that that would lead you to believe that that something is not going to happen. And again, like firing a manager this late in the season, like you are literally giving up on the season.
Without a doubt.
And the whole like conspiracy theory, like I get what you're saying. Like then at the last month and a half, if nothing changes, then it looks bad on DePoto. It's like, all right, we got rid of the manager and these guys still suck under this manager. So maybe it's just this roster and this team sucks. The one thing going for DePoto is like, yeah, but do you see that pitching staff?
And the farm system.
And the farm system.
You see, who did that?
And exactly. The trade deadline.
Exactly. Well, and to your point, Patrick, actually, about the trade deadline, I personally thought Jerry DePoto was trying to save his job at that point and only made the trades for Rosarena, and Turner and Garcia because he needed to save his job. Those moves could have been made in the offseason. No, instead he went with Luis Urias and a couple other of, you know, just like kind of...
Polanco.
Thank you, yes. Yeah, see if
we've had our eye on him for years.
Well, and you know what? Polanco, to his credit, has kind of turned it on here in the last half of the season. I like it. But it's just the point is that DePoto is bringing in these guys over and over again, mediocre replacements that he hoped will, you know, play up to a performance from two seasons ago, and then just basically waiting until the last moment where his job is on the line for some reason, because I don't know, it's like his way is the best, and since it didn't work in March, it's going to work through June and July, but then all of a sudden, no, when his ass is against the wall, then he only does something. I don't know.
I guess my thought is, you know, Stanton was always the scapegoat. Like it's always easy to look at your owner and say, you know, this owner sucks. You know, I deal with that in Cleveland. Dolan is awful. But the front office is fantastic. And that's when the real question lies is when does Jordan, I know you know this, but Joe, do you know who the GM of the Seattle Mariners is?
Ah, I mean, it's not Jerry DePoto the way that you're saying it.
No, it's not. He's the president of baseball operations.
No, there's a fall guy in the GM's spot.
There's a fall guy there.
Name's Justin Hollander.
So the real question is you can have bad owners. Maybe Service isn't a bad manager. Maybe the team is just constructed poorly.
Who does Jerry DePoto have naked pictures of? That's my question at this point.
Probably Stanton.
Yeah.
Is this a Jody Allen situation?
Yeah.
Hot tubs and everything.
I just, at this point, if you are DePoto and, the GM that I had no idea what his name was.
I didn't either.
It's okay, Justin Hollander, but he's, no. Whenever there's a trade, everybody refers to DePoto, not Hollander. So,
I mean, as I said, it's like, hey, look at all these arms we have. Well, maybe it's time you look at maybe moving a couple so that way you can get some guys that can actually hit.
And that's where I want to get to next. Like, before we completely send off this team, which we might be doing this week, and completely not mentioning this team until we get to the offseason of what the future looks like, let's take a peek. What, if anything, can DePoto do to salvage his job and salvage this team? Because there is talent. There is a ton of talent, but it is clearly not performing.
Sorry, I just saw this comment on the YouTube chat. So when you fire Service and they're still bad at hitting, then what do you do? They're the worst at hitting right now. Like, how
you can't get worse.
I was going to say, how much worse is it going to get? Like, again, let him ride out the season, see if he can fix this and turn it around, get a playoff berth, whether it's the AL West or wild card. But again, you are literally statistically the worst in the league and are on track for the worst ever.
Also,
can't get worse than that.
Also, if you fire Service, who is available? Let's get to that next. There's still some more Mariner fallout. Is this the last time we talk about the Mariners for the rest of the 2024 season? This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Does this get you hot?
Fuego. Calor.
If the whole place is dark and this comes on and people are cheering, the closer comes out, you feeling good?
I mean, it's not as cool as like the D-Generation X music.
Are you ready?
Dun, dun.
I do think it's kind of cool.
You ready to bow down to the masters?
Break it down. I do think it's kind of cool. I love the idea. I mean, we grew up in the 90s. We grew up with Sandman and Hell's Bells. And in the second segment, I love to play Sugar Diaz's walk-up music. I mean, like, the trumpet is just epic. But I was watching a Brewers game the other day, and that song was playing in the middle of, like, the sixth inning.
The Diaz walk-up song?
Yeah, just in the stadium. And it's kind of like, oh, man, dude, they just straight stole that from that guy. If anybody ever stole Sandman and played it in the sixth inning, you get run out of town.
I want to say that I heard that song on, like, a bumper on, maybe it was during, like, the Olympics basketball or something like that.
The Diaz song or the Suarez song?
The Diaz song. Yeah, it was during something where I was like, oh, hey, it's the Diaz song. But they were, like, using it in the production of some sporting event somewhere.
Should we get to a point, at least in baseball, like if the Olympics want to do it, then, okay, yeah, you like stole it because it means a big thing. But in baseball, if a guy has an iconic song, we got to like let them have it, right? You can't be playing that in other stadiums.
Yeah, I get what you mean. In a sense, like I have, it's like
Miami's 40 games out of the playoffs and they're playing Enter Sandman in the fourth inning. Like
it's like MySpace. Like, dude, I had that song on my profile first. Before you can't take it.
You can't take it.
You're taking my song, dude. He's in my top eight.
Boy, for a game with a ton of unwritten rules and most of them are really stupid. If you're a closer and you have a theme, you shouldn't be able to touch it.
Yeah, but I do.
It would be really cool if Suarez walked out to Hell's Bells, though. Like if the whole place went dark and Hell's Bells hit.
No.
He's not established yet.
You can't do it. It's like stealing somebody else's catchphrase. You just can't do it.
If Emmanuel Clase gets signed by the San Diego Padres next year and they're making a World Series run and it's Game 7 of the NLCS, and he's about to come in and the whole place goes dark. Can you play Hell's Bells?
I would give him a pass once.
The best closer in baseball?
If it was a very, like...
Just one time. Yeah. Game 7 of the NLCS.
God, even then, I'm like... Oh, man, that's... Maybe if it's like a Game 3 or
what
something.
What if it's Cleveland and it's Game 7 of the ALCS against the Yankees?
I mean, what if I came in on Cleveland and did a home and you run go, call? Back. Like, you can't steal other people's stuff.
Yeah, I think because he is a Padre and Trevor Hoffman was also a Padre and,
that's why I said Padres because it's
again, the
Hoffman.
Connection there. That's why I'd give him a pass like once.
I don't think you can do Sandman in New York because no one's Mo.
No,
no one's Mo and no one's really Hoffman, but Hoffman's not even Mo.
Well, he is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, Hoffman was a different pitcher than Mo,
but he's not Mo.
No.
Yeah. Again,
unanimous.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one, Suarez, and that's it. So use it wisely.
You better use it wisely.
But if it's like a
it's like a P-wing in Mario.
But dude, if it's like a game seven and he like blows the save, you're like, oh, you kind of
shouldn't have played
up,
Hell's Bells. Yeah,
thanks for that.
Yeah. All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we got a lot to get to, including potentially bad rules in baseball. Plus, Joe eats a spicy lentil wrap for the first time. But I want to finish
just
up this.
Bite.
I want to finish up this Mariner conversation, as this might be the last time we talk about this team until the end of the season. The thought is, right, you have a starting five rotation that might be the greatest five I've ever seen in my entire life.
Calm down.
You've got Emerson Hancock waiting in the distance, potentially six guys that can throw. Is the idea moving forward still kind of what the thought was at the beginning of the season of move Miller or Wu? Or is it time to look at hit your post to Gilbert or Kirby and move the other guy? Because Castillo's going to be really hard to move because of that contract. Even though I think he gets a bad rep. I think he gets a bad rap because Gilbert and Kirby have been so good. But I think Castillo's worth the money he's making. But you can't really move him because of that contract. Is it worth more moving a Miller Wu? Or is it worth choosing a Gilbert Kirby and moving the other guy?
I don't have the ages of all these guys up front. But, I mean,
they're all under 26.
Yeah, I mean...
And my, with years of control.
My personal instinct is to let Kirby go. If I were to...
And why is that?
I'd rather have Gilbert. I'd rather have Castillo. I'd rather have Wu, who I think is younger. I'd rather have Miller, who I think is younger.
And then you have to think that Kirby demands more than Miller Wu.
Yes. Yes, that too. I think that if he were to be on the table for teams to trade for him, that despite, you know, he drives me nuts because of the whole pitch count and him not going as deep into games as I would like. But again, he is still a great pitcher. And so I think that he has a track record that's been established long enough now that where he would demand more on the trade market. So I would, I'd go away from Kirby of all those guys.
So you, but you like the idea of trading one of the studs and keeping the kids.
Yes, because you need studs to hit and you don't have anybody. So like you need like
more return.
Yes, 100%.
I don't mean to come in pessimistically, but I hate this idea completely. They didn't spend the money when they had the opportunity last year. And I don't know if, you know, DePoto or whoever the GM is going to have to go to the owner asking, you know, hat in hand again for more money this offseason.
Yeah, looking at guys, I mean, obviously they're out on Soto, but Christian Walker would be a great sign.
There's
Bellinger could be available.
Anthony Santander.
Matt Chapman could opt out, although I don't think he will.
There's available guys, I think.
Teoscar.
Yeah, if you're willing to spend $20 million in a season for one single player, you can go grab them. The problem is that they just don't want to. So what? You're forced to trade your really talented pitching because your owner doesn't want to spend money? I mean, I guess in a perfect world, like dealing with, you know, what you're given, that's what they would have to do. But I don't see it. I don't think they should do that. They've got Wu and Miller. Trade one of those guys. Package them with Hancock and two of your top prospects and Ford and Colt Emerson. See what you can get out on the open market in, you know, like a controllable, really great young player like a Ryan McMahon type, but maybe even a couple of years younger than that. There is a star to be had for what the Mariners have, but they also have a ton of money. They don't have to give up any of their top-tier guys.
Well, let me counter this for you, Schultzy, on that. I think I tend to agree with you. I like, pitching will always win. So I really would love to see this starting five for the next 3-4 years. I think that'd be so rad. But I will counter with this for funsies, just to talk about. If you could package Ford and Kirby, it's probably too much, but let's just say hypothetical.
Yeah.
If you could package them for a Jackson Holiday.
That's not happening.
I wouldn't do it. It's unproven. I'm not going to take a flyer on a 20-year-old. I mean, if you're talking about trading my organization's top starting pitcher.
I mean it more situationally.
Have you been watching him since he got caught?
I get that.
I mean it more situationally. Not Jackson himself.
Okay.
But like a Churio or a Merrill.
I love Churio
or,
too.
You know, or somebody like that. You know, obviously, Bobby's not on the table, but like somebody that is a kid that has serious flashes. Is it worth to give one of those starters and a top minor league guy for a Jackson Churio or a Jackson Holiday or a, what's Merrill's first name? Please tell me it's Jackson.
Jackson Merrill.
It might be Jackson Merrill.
For one of the Jacksons, the Jackson trio, is that worth it?
I mean, if you're adding like a Ryan Mountcastle who's going to give you 15 to 25 homers in a season.
Yeah.
I think if you can get a couple other pieces.
I need a Mountcastle.
Yeah. If you're just asking, you know, 3-for-1, hell no. But if you're trying to throw in proven major league talent along with the top prospect in all of baseball type of a trade here, yeah, that starts to tickle my skirt alert. It like
if Eovaldi, Scherzer, and DeGrom are done, can you send, you know, a Kirby and a Dominguez or whatever it is to Texas for a Wyatt Langford or an Evan Carter?
I don't know. I think
is that the swing you got to take, the SWING?
I mean, again, I just think that you have such a disparity in pitching and hitting that you can afford to give up one of those
guys. That's kind of what I'm asking.
Yes. So, like, why not make that move? Now, it's a matter of, like, those names you're throwing out, I don't know if any of those.
Totally. I don't know if they're available.
It's tough, but.
This is hypothetical.
Yeah, I get it. And it's just, you know, if you were to play the trade machine all night long, could you realistically make that work? And, like, where you, if we're playing both sides of the franchise, one team in the other, are you able to find something fair like that? But is there a quote-unquote star or batter that is the quality of a George Kirby that a team is willing to give up?
And that
I'm
was
I'm just trying to think off the top of my
head.
That
was the big question at the trade deadline. Like, Randy Arozarena was the best bat you can get, and he was batting 247.
But again, is there someone even better than that that you can give up? Again, one of these pitchers that you have.
Yeah, I don't know. Mike Trout, is he available?
And don't do that.
Honestly?
I can't believe I'm saying that, but don't do that.
Take a flyer on him. Give up a mid-level prospect for him. I don't know what the Angels are going to be able to get for him. You can't ask for a top prospect from a team for a $30-plus million injured, you know, like 33-year-old former superstar.
Last place in the West. Los Angeles Angels.
And they won't ever trade him to the Mariners anyways.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's get to something more depressing. Major League Baseball has a thought about a new rule change. Plus, Joe will eat a spicy lentil wrap for the
first time.
I'm
taking a bite.
And fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot corner. Today, the fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now you kiss and Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that on the Fan podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Joe and I are laughing in the break. How much does Luis Castillo make?
Luis Castillo, 24 mil, just above.
Luis Castillo makes $24 million a year. That means the entire starting rotation of the Seattle Mariners is under $30 million a year.
Yeah, and actually with that starting pitcher salary, not hard to trade at all.
George Kirby makes $750.
Excuse me, $798.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Don't want to shortchange him.
I mean, come on.
We'll have fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. There is the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further. They treat you right during, before, and after the sale of Vancouver Ford. Visit VancouverFord.com, plus YouTube.com/1080AM. The Fan. Let's move along from the Mariners, and I completely forgot about this, Joe. Joe and I text about what we want to do for the show, and there's always some major story that I forget about because it happened on like a Wednesday, and I remember hearing this and going, oh, this, we should lead the show with this. I just didn't expect the Mariners to be the worst team in baseball. There is a report that MLB is interested in throwing around the idea of forcing starters to pitch 6 innings.
Terrible.
To increase the concept that starting pitchers are valued more. This comes on the heels of expanded bases, pitch clock, ghost runners, and things that Major League Baseball, for the most part, has been successful at increasing runs, but also shortening the length of games. My friends, I open this to you. 6 inning minimum requirement, unless you give up like 5 runs.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that the next time you need to negotiate with the MLBPA if you're going to make that happen. You're going to have to give up a lot of concessions for that to actually go through. Because it's not going to.
Do you think they're more mad that like Gerrit Cole only threw 5 or Crochet only threw 4? Or do you think they just really hate the opener?
I was going to say, whenever they see the opener, they're just like, damn it.
I hate this.
This is so dumb. It's like, how are you going to, like, and what is it? A couple weeks ago, I think we were taught, this was off air, but we were looking at, like, the future Hall of Famers. Like, who's going to be next
love
up in the next ballot.
I love looking at that.
And I think outside of CeCe Sabathia, like after him, like there ain't a lot of starting pitchers that are going to be eligible over the next few years.
Yeah, we're waiting on Scherzer and Kershaw and
Verlander
to retire, who none of them have and plan to pitch next year.
Yeah, so that will be the next kind of wave of starting pitchers. But to me, it's like, I get it, but, and I don't know if it's a stats thing, like they just want to see dudes go into the seventh, eighth, ninth, have those 20 win seasons, have those, you know, insane numbers at the end of the year with strikeout totals and go and have long careers with 3,000 strikeouts. It's like, why do you need this?
Earlier today, I was with a buddy and he was looking at the TBS broadcast. It was before the Braves Phillies game started. And he goes, that's Pedro Martinez, right? And I was like, yeah. And he says he was pretty great. And I was like, yeah. And
some,
so I kind of like,
say.
I kind of like went into why Pedro was so great. So my question is this rule to increase the game, or is this rule to increase notoriety of pitchers? You know, do we want Dylan Cease to be as famous as Pedro Martinez? Do we want Paul Skenes to be as famous as Roy Halladay? You know, do we want, like, some of these young flamethrowers, like that kid Francis in Toronto? Do we want him to be as famous as Clayton Kershaw? Like, is that why? Like, I struggle to find the positive of forcing studs to go six innings if they've given up three and it's 3-0 in the fifth.
What's the
positive? Are we going to sell jerseys of Dylan Cease because he goes into the sixth and gives up two more runs and it's 5-0?
Like, starting pitchers, they're going past six innings already. Like, I'm not saying all the time, obviously, but it's like,
all fantasy leagues are quality starts. Like, they're not wins anymore. They're all quality starts.
There are dudes throwing complete games. There are dudes throwing no hitters. There are guys that are awesome pitchers that are starters. You can't get upset. Like, so what if teams are strategizing and trying to win games in a different way than before and trying to preserve arms and pitch counts and innings? And like,
Is it a ticket sales thing? Like, if I'm going to a Rays game on a Tuesday and it should be Shane McClanahan, but it's Pete Fairbanks opening instead, and so now I'm mad?
Listen, we love baseball, so whether it's, you know, a offensive game, whether it's a pitcher's duel, whatever, like, we love baseball, right? But I don't see, like, oh, so are you doing this so that way pitchers can start getting shelled towards the end of the game, like, and then
more runs scored. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is that they
like
want more runs scored
in the sixth inning. Like, oh, dude, I'm gassed.
Because let's,
like, I don't care if you've thrown 100 pitches, you haven't hit that sixth inning mark.
Let's be real, the third through the sixth can be some slow baseball.
You're not wrong. Yeah. Let me tinfoil hat it though here for a second, y'all.
I love tinfoil hats.
Kind of going the opposite on this. So back in the day, like we're talking 40s through like 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, kind of the last decade, I think, that you really saw pitchers going like almost like every inning, you know, most of the time. Like, I think of Nolan Ryan, just an Iron Man, and I think he pitched until about 93, and, you know, your Braves trio going 7 and 8 most of their starts. I feel like baseball's trying to get back to that and maybe forcing, you know, starting pitchers. And actually, back in the day when they did throw more, they threw differently, but they were injured a lot less. So maybe this is baseball trying to get back to, like, yesteryear as far as, kind of, you mentioned pitchers being a big star, big names in the league selling tickets, but also keeping them on the field more. And I know this sounds kind of counterintuitive, but if you can get them pitching and pitching more innings in the correct way, they will stop blowing out their arms. And maybe this is a part of that equation of MLB trying to fix that. I don't know.
That sounds to me like the person that argues 90s NBA was better than what we have today.
I hear you there.
Like, how can we go back? Because, I mean, some of the greatest pitchers of all time, with the exception of, like, the Tom Seavers of the world, the greatest pitchers of all time are in the 60s and the 90s and early 2000s. It's Bob Gibson, Sandy Koufax, Whitey Ford, and Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Greg Maddux.
I would say Dave Steeb and Jack Morris don't get enough credit for their 80s success, but that's just me.
But they're not.
They're not
Randy Johnson.
No. They were their Johnson of the 80s, but not as talented.
Well, also, I think that, I mean, it's just also a money factor. Like, there's so much money put into these guys now and these players that they're like, I want to keep making money.
When the Yankees make the playoffs in game one, they're going to throw Gerrit Cole, and he's going to throw five innings. I don't care if he's dealing. He could have 60 pitches.
They've got an elite bullpen.
He's getting pulled in fifth, after the fifth. He's not going out for the sixth.
No, you need
That's
guys
a $32
throwing,
million dollar guy.
You need guys throwing 102, though, from the sixth to the ninth.
Yeah, it's just, there's part of me in postseason baseball, like, that part does kind of irk me when guys are getting pulled that early.
Yeah, like the Blake Snell thing from the Rays in the yes. World Series. Yeah. Like, I fully supported Cash leaving him out there. It didn't work out. That's why you blame him. But I fully believe that. Pedro Martinez argued to stay with Grady Little in 2003, and he stayed in and gave it up, and it cost Grady Little a job. But they won the World Series the next year.
Yeah, I just, when it comes to postseason, like, if you got a guy that is cooking, like, I would like to see him go as far as he can, but I understand that you're trying to win a ball game and strategy and trying to make the right moves to preserve your guys throughout a playoff run holds precedent. It's a long MLB season. Again, you have invested a lot of money in these guys where you don't want to have them blowing their elbows out. Guys are already doing that as is. Like, we've talked about how the increase of elbow surgeries over the last 10 years versus the previous 10 years are 4 or 5 times more than they used to be. So guys are doing this and trying to be limited as well. Like, remember Steven Strasburg? Yeah, he's retired now because they tried to limit him, one of the best pitchers that we thought we were ever going to see, and he had a great run for a very small window, but that's because of his arm just being like crab meat. And again, these guys, they want to preserve him, and with the amount of money you have invested in them, and I know it kills me, I rip on George Kirby, but it's more so just kind of like poke the bear a little bit of Schultzy, but it's like, these guys have way too much invested in their arms and the longevity of it to last their careers, so that way they can make a lot of money. And to say, like, no, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And I understand they have the rule about the earned runs, too. Like, after I think it's 4 earned runs.
I think it's 5 or 4. It might be 4. Yeah.
I thought I read it was 4. Like,
but we already do that.
Yes.
Like, guys get pulled after 4 runs anyway.
To me, it's so dumb.
It makes me feel like it's grasping at straws to increase the entertainment value. It makes me think, like, okay, Chiefs-Ravens AFC Championship, okay? It's the end of the third quarter. We're going into the fourth quarter. Chiefs are up on the Ravens 19-10, okay? 2 scores, right? 2 scores. Ravens got to score twice to get ahead of it. And Andy Reid says, run the ball. Run the ball. Waste the clock. Run the ball. But it's like, no. Your quarterback has to throw at least twice on your 4 downs to try to make something happen. It kind of seems like that. Like, the team got ahead and did well, but it's like, how do we get the other team back in this game?
Yeah, it's starting not to feel like a real competitive game.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting to the 3-batter rule for relievers, I get that was more so a time thing than a competitive thing, but really it is starting to leak into, well, let's even out the competitiveness and make it like more of a little league game. Let's not do that.
No. You better if you don't like it's like pitchers when batters do a bat flip. If you're mad about a bat flip, quit throwing meat.
Exactly. Well, and I see Madison Bumgarner, one of the worst offenders of that, always pumping his fist when he strikes people out and then gets mad at people. Run faster! It's like, really?
Quit giving up meat.
Yeah. Double standard.
They say that the 3 instances of where a starter can get pulled, he throws 100 pitches, he gives up 4 or more earned runs, or he gets injured. Hey, my elbow
How many
hurts.
Times you seen a guy throw 100 pitches in 4 innings?
Or 5.
Actually. 6.
Yeah. I mean, but
never.
But also, what's stopping a player or a manager just being like going out there in the fifth and just being like, oh, his elbow hurts.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Then he's got to go on the DL.
Fake injuries galore.
Oh, with a required injured
yep.
list.
If you are pulled for an injury, you have to go on the DL.
Read the parentheses, Joe.
But hey, you can come back if you're replacing another injured player. So yeah, there's some rules they can mess with.
The good news is that I don't think this is ever going to happen. The better news is that Joe is going to try a spicy lentil wrap on the air, and we're going to do that next, plus Fair or Foul at the bottom of the hour. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy on the ones and twos. Today, the Fan. We have Fair or Foul coming up in about 15 minutes, but we're going to go off script here for a little bit. Well, not off script, because we've been planning this since about 7 o'clock. Joe was looking at me like I was crazy because I have this lentil wrap, and Joe thinks it sounds terrible, and they just looked at it and looked at me like, oh my God.
Dude, there's nothing
why
in
do
it.
I have to eat this?
It's just mush. Is what it is.
It is not mush. There's onions.
It looks like mush.
There's lentils. It's really good. That yeah, you don't want a ton of sauce. A little bit is good.
All right.
It's a thinner sauce.
Yeah, I lifted it up, and again, I know that you said that there wasn't meat, but my brain was already like playing tricks like, oh yeah, you'll see some chicken in there. There's nothing in here.
No, it is lentils and bulgur wheat. Bulgur wheat is like a fiber-rich brown rice type thing. And there's some lettuce in there, some other veggies, and some onions.
Cabbage.
On a very nice wrap.
All right, it's not that bad.
Yeah, see?
I'm going to go in for one more.
Yeah, baby, see, this is what I'm talking about. Open your mind. I am not a vegan. I am not a vegetarian. I am not a carnivore. I am somebody that eats food that's very good.
Listen, I can taste the mush part of it.
Sure, there's a little textural involved in it.
But I appreciate the spice.
The spice is really nice.
Got a little kick. I like the bread, this kind of non-textured bread.
Mm-hmm. It's like not quite tortilla, not quite flat bread.
You're lucky I'm just really hungry.
He'll eat anything right now.
Yeah. You could have served up a steaming pile of crap to me, and I'd probably be like, you know, let me take a woof.
So
yeah.
This is one of my go-to things at the old TJ. Like, I think this thing is phenomenal.
Ah, okay. It's a TJ's item. Yeah, love that stuff.
TJ doesn't miss, man.
They don't.
All right.
I'm proud of you.
Maybe it was the sauce. I'll give it the sauce.
Stepping into new dimensions.
Now, the only thing I will say about this wrap is they give you two of those. I've never eaten both of them in my entire life.
Ah, there you go. Cheap,
because
too.
It's not good?
Because it's a lot of food, Joe, and I don't eat a ton of food.
Why not? You need to hit your caloric intake.
I get my caloric intake.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Yeah. Beer and lettuce wraps.
Tell you what, man, the caloric deficit is a tough thing to hit. I have officially gone jogging. What is it?
Jogging.
Five of the last eight. Wait, six. No, five of the last 9 days. I'm trying to do math. Five of the last 9 days.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. Just a light jog, you know, maybe a mile and a half to 2 miles, somewhere around there. But trying to not stuff your face with food throughout the day, or my biggest problem is going for the second helping at dinner.
Yep.
And eating, it's like, just because you're not full doesn't mean you have to keep eating till you're full.
Yeah, well, apparently it takes 15 minutes for your stomach to tell your brain that you are full.
Like, stop.
Yeah. And so in those 15 minutes, you're like, yeah, dude, I'm still hungry.
And that's why they always encourage you to slow down when you're eating.
And that's when you overeat.
Text line's great. They asked if you remembered when you reviewed Trader Joe's beers.
Oof. One of the all-time greatest episodes in the history of Beers on Us is when me and Voldemort reviewed TJ beers. The other great one was when we did non-alcoholic beers. I don't know which one's funnier. I lived through both of them, and they were both atrocious. But TJ beers are really, really rough. But then people are like, dude, I got this six pack of 8% double IPA for $4.99. And I'm like, yeah.
I love how they call
what you paid for
their Mexican beer Trader Jose.
Trader Jose, dude. Like, I mean, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And then I had it and I wanted to vomit.
Oh, they got a Joseph brew. The Hefeweizen is called a Joseph brew. I like it.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's all Joe. You know, it's like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, but I like it. Just a Joseph brew. Or is it Joseph Bra?
We should start calling Fish over here Trader's Fish.
Trader Fish.
I like
Trader
that.
Fish.
I got to come up with some trades, though. Maybe we make that a thing where I start just throwing out some wild trades and have a segment every few weeks.
The Mariners might need a new GM.
Trader Bob, call him. He traded Brian Grant for Sean Kemp. Let's go.
Trader Jose. That is hilarious.
I mean, it's insanely awesome marketing. I was at a Trader Joe's once, and this Hispanic-looking man looked at it, and he went, "Trader Jose, we should try that." And I was like, marketing.
Done. Did you have it with a lime?
I did not. I had it straight up.
Maybe that would have made it
better. I don't know if the lime was going to save it. I really don't.
Lime and salt.
By the way, if you want to hear that, you can check those out. Like, all those Beers on Us podcasts are still alive. You can find the Trader Joe's. What I really wanted to do with the Swinge Voldemort himself was I wanted to... Now, Trader Joe's stores most of their beers warm. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to buy a bunch of Trader Joe's beer, put them in a cooler... and flash cool them, and then do the podcast from a Trader Joe's parking lot. Because if you've ever been to a Trader Joe's parking lot, it's some of the worst parking lot you can ever imagine in your life. We are really close to the 21st and Gleason parking lot. That place is an absolute nightmare. If you go to the Hollywood Trader Joe's, that place is an absolute nightmare. I have a new one in Salmon Creek, and the parking lot is absolutely wonderful.
They need to go
suburbs.
They need to go a little bit more southwest with the Trader Joe's. I think that they just added one in like the King City area.
I have no idea where that is.
King City, like Tigard.
I know where that is. Tigard.
Yeah. Tigard. That's about as southwest as it goes, the Trader Joe's. But I think Newburgh with the wine and the bouginess of Newburgh. I don't know if anyone's ever said that, but I think it's time for a TJ Newburgh.
I bought some good cheese from TJ's. A little bit of wine. They've got some cool crackers as well.
See, that's what I'm saying. Newburgh is bougie, man. You got the wine. You got a few good little meat markets, cheese markets out there. It's time for a TJ.
Real quickly, before we get to fair or foul, I do want to let it breathe, so I don't want to go off tangent too far. The top five records in baseball, as we're fighting for the best record in baseball, there is the Orioles, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Dodgers. Do you know the fifth team?
The San Diego Padres.
No.
The Cleveland Guardians.
No.
Your Cleveland Guardians. The Milwaukee Brewers.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
Are we going to ever talk about them?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Not until they won a playoff series.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think so. I saw
those
that today.
Poor Brewers. They get their manager poached from them and then still have one of the best teams in the league. Possibly going to be the number one seed.
I know. I saw that and I was like, wow, I should talk about... No, I'm not going to talk about that. All right, when we come back, it is fair or foul, everybody's favorite. Before we do that, we'll throw it over to Schultz with sports.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. Without any further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultz. What do you got for us today?
I think I got some stumpers for you guys, although I don't know. We're getting to the end of the season. You guys have been in on it hard.
The big stumper.
Big stumper to big dumper. Do you see the big dumper, by the way? You can now dump your girlfriend or boyfriend via video message from the big dumper at a Mariners game.
Cal Pretty Raleigh.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. Cal Raleigh will break up with your sigo for you.
I'm sure girlfriends would be very confused. Who are you? Where's my boyfriend?
Well, I bet it's going to be a lot of girls calling and the boys going to the Mariners game are finding out. But anyways, guys, speaking of a Mariners opponent that they haven't really dealt with so well this year, the Houston Astros, of course, in first place in the AL West, have been playing some really good baseball as of late. Alex Bregman turning it on.
I was just about to say hello, Alex Bregman. Yeah, welcome to baseball again.
All of a sudden, I mean, he had like four home runs in four games last week or the week before that, just keeps hitting. I know that they've lost Jose Altuve to injury, but it just like doesn't matter. Him and Kyle Tucker are out, right? But Alvarez keep hitting. It does not matter.
Yeah, and who
they
knows?
The void.
Kyle Tucker might be back for the playoffs, and he's so good that he could just be ready.
Well, fair or foul, guys, the Houston Astros have the best record in baseball since May 1st. Fair or foul?
Oh, since May 1st. Okay.
I did a little change up from our earlier convo.
Well, I was looking at post All-Star break earlier. So you're saying
since May 1st. So just minus the first month of the season.
Go for it, Patrick.
I'll say foul on this. I do think Death by a Thousand Cuts is coming on strong, and I am going to be very, very mad when I look at the ALCS and it's Yankees Astros or Orioles Astros, and it's in Game 6. I'm going to be very, very upset about that. But I don't think they really came on until a little bit later than that. Plus, they get a big benefit from Seattle falling off so hard. So I think they, despite being very, very good, the best record since May 1st, I might say is the New York Yankees. So I'll say foul. I could be wrong on the Yanks, but I'll say foul. Bonus question. I think, even that I don't know because they had that slow start. But I will say foul that it's not the Astros.
I think I actually know the answer to this as far as what team it is. I'm going to say foul as well, and I believe it is the Minnesota Twins.
Ooh, sexy. The Twins are on a streak right now.
I can't believe I actually stumped both of you guys.
Damn it.
That is fair. The Houston Astros have the best record in MLB. I'm on StatMuse right now. Since May 1st, they are 58-38 in that time. That does count the loss that they just suffered to the Red Sox. In Houston, the Mariners 47-48 in that stretch. But here are your teams 2, 3, and 4. The Padres at number 2, 56-37. The Doyers at 55-39, and then your Yankees at 54-40.
Not my Yankees.
I'm saying your Yankees because I know how much you love Aaron Boone, my friend.
bonus question. Raise your hand if you can name the manager of the Astros.
Joe Espada.
Because I could not Joe for the Espada. Life of me think of it right now.
Just a lifelong bench coach until he got the gig, I think, under Dusty Baker for quite a bit.
Well, they couldn't give it to somebody with clout because anybody with clout has been banned from baseball or they manage the Red Sox. What's next, Schultzy?
I love it. All right, guys, let's go from a really good team to, I would say, a player on a really bad team, and that is Marlins third baseman Jake Berger. Chubby kid. Looks like me. Looks like he eats a lot of burgers, but he's been hitting bombs, been hitting whammies. Actually surprised at his stats in the last 30 days, guys. Fair or foul, Jake Berger of the Marlins leads all hitters in home runs over the last 30 days. Fair or foul?
I'm going to say foul, just because I have not watched a lick of Marlins baseball
as
over the last
shouldn't.
30 days. Gosh, I know that Machado's been on a solid tear over the last... I just heard a stat the other day. It might have been the last 35 games, but maybe it was 35 days. I'm going to say foul. I'm not going to put a name on it, but I don't think it's going to be Berger.
I am also going to go with foul, and I think because the answer is my Yankee, Aaron Judge. He hit his 45th today, and if it's not Aaron Judge, it's Juan Soto. As cool as it is for Berger and the Marlins, I'm with Joe. There's no reason to watch them. I would love this to be fair. I think it'd be really cool. However, he'll probably go high in a fantasy draft next year and hit 12 bombs all year and get DFA'd.
I guess I stumped you guys again. It is actually fair. Jake Berger leading the league in the last 30 days with 12 whammies. Ketel Marte and Juan Soto have 11.
Ketel Marte hasn't played in like 2 weeks.
He still hit a bunch of bombs. He's actually, yeah, he shows 21 games played in these 30 days. So, still hit a bunch of bombs. And then Tyler Fitzgerald pretty high up on the list.
Ooh, the kid for the Giants.
Yeah, 10 home runs. Yeah, and then Guerrero Santander also with 10 along with Corey Seager. So there you go. I'm trying to find Aaron Judge. He's all the way down at 9 along with Ohtani and Ozuna.
By the way, it's funny as you walk through that list. Tyler Fitzgerald has been a fun story for the Giants right now. But boy, have we slept on Vladdy.
No kidding.
Since the All-Star break.
Since the haircut.
Since the haircut, Vladdy is just unreal.
I want to say he's won player of the week, definitely once, but a couple times now. Like, he had 1 week where he had like a bazillion extra base hits.
It was like the second we gave up on Toronto, Vladdy started mashing. Anyway, just food for thought.
Hey, no, it's his dad's hair, baby. He was already good, and then he got his dad's haircut, lost the dreads, looks literally like a spitting image of his dad in the batting box.
Start hitting without gloves, my friend.
Oh, man, I watched Vlad Guerrero hit a double off of a pitch in the dirt.
Me too.
Like, that dude was so good, and we see his son now being almost as good. All right, guys, so fair or foul number 3, away from the stump use and trying to get some opinions out of you all. So, very weird season in baseball in that we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We have not had any elite teams. No one really at the top of the pile, just way, way better than everybody else, guys. And I think a bunch of people are tied, like you were just mentioning, the leaders in wins all around like 75 or 74, up there with the Yankees, the Dodgers, those numbers. So fair or foul, guys, just looking at the stretches left, which is about, 35 games, and seeing what team totals are, we will not have a 100-team win this season in MLB. Fair or foul?
I say foul. It's just a lot of the great teams that started off hot have cooled off, two of those being the Yankees and the Phillies. I mean, the best record in baseball right now is the Dodgers, I believe.
Yeah, 74 wins.
So, 74, what's their record?
Orioles also have 74, but they're 74-53. Dodgers are 74-52.
So, yeah. That put them at 127. So, yeah, about 35 games left. So, and the way that they're playing, they're not going to go 20. Like, the way that the Orioles playing, they're definitely not going 26-10 the rest of the season. The Dodgers have not been that consistent lately. They've been playing better than, if you want to compare them to the best teams in the MLB that have been playing better, but Orioles, Yankees have been inconsistent. Guardians have been inconsistent. Phillies have been one of the worst teams in MLB record-wise since the All-Star break.
Yep.
I'm spacing on the other division. I mean, the Brewers have been one of the better teams of late. But again,
they're going to coast in the playoffs. There's no reason. They're 11 and a half games up in the
season. And they're at, 72 wins?
73.
So I say fair. There will not be a 100-game winner this year.
You know what? I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to say foul.
What?
No, that was right. Foul. She said, yes, foul there will not be, so he's saying that there will be.
I think there will be. I think someone will sneak it in. I think someone will sneak in 100 games. It'll be 100 even.
All right,
it's not going to be 101.
My Orioles will win even. The pennant again.
Maybe somebody just kind of gets hot at the end and kind of gets it. If I were a betting man, I would put it on the Los Angeles Angels of Doyers, and I will choose the Dodgers.
All right, guys, final fair or foul. Of course, we did talk about it, I believe, early in the 8 o'clock hour. Go podcast this show wherever you get your podcasts and on 1080thefan.com. Talking about the league, at least throwing around discussions of implementing a 6-inning limit for starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. I'm not sure that's the best way to go. We all kind of lamented it why it's not really the greatest plan going forward, but obviously MLB making rule changes upon rule changes, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, all kinds of things to make the game speed up and increase runs. I like them. I think that we've gotten maybe to a bit better spot in the game, but in my opinion, there is a spot where it does become too much. So guys, fair or foul, Major League Baseball should put a 5-year moratorium on changing rules. Fair or foul?
One of my biggest complaints about the NFL, and I always get pushback on this, One thing that really bothers me about the NFL is that I feel like going into every season, I don't know the rules anymore. Whether it's pass interference, kickoffs, touching the quarterback, I feel like I am confused, and I am a sports fan and a radio host in the sports market. And I don't watch the NFL as much as, say, you two do, but I still watch it enough that I know how the game works. One of my biggest complaints is that I don't know what's happening every year. I would say fair. I think baseball made huge steps. I hate the Ghost Runner. I absolutely hate the Ghost Runner.
Agreed.
But the pitch clock worked. The larger bases worked. And I was very anti both of those as an old man on my lawn. And I've come around on them.
Shrinking the roster size from 40 to 28 in September even worked as well. And I was against that.
Right. But I get worried that it's like, hey, we started tinkering and this works. Let's tinker more. And that's what bothers me about the NFL. Sometimes the NBA does it, but it's more the NFL. I am fair on this. It might not be 5 years, but a moratorium of just like, let's see how things flesh out long term. You know, three batters per reliever. Let's see how it fleshes out before we say, oh, 1 year of success. Let's make more. No. Baseball is rooted in the same rules for 175 years. Let's let it breathe for a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to say fair on this. Whether, kind of like what Patrick said, whether 5 years is right or not, I mean, you know, to each his own. But I feel like... yeah, there's just too much of a knee-jerk reaction on rules in the MLB. In sports in general, I would say the NBA of the three leagues probably does the least amount of changing when it comes to like rules and things. If anything, it's minor tweaks to stop flopping.
But I feel like they do little things that you don't see. They like tell refs don't call this.
Yeah,
you know. Right. But it's not an official rule.
But yeah, I agree. It's just I feel like that the MLB. At one point, it's like, how many more levers can you pull to try and change the game to the way that you want it to be played as a league and generate more offense when we're now having the season that has one of the lowest batting averages ever? I like the idea of a moratorium and having rule changes paused. 5 years, maybe too long, 3-4. But again, I feel like... get a sample size of this actually works rather than be like, oh, yeah, it worked. All right, let's see what else we can do.
I feel like you open yourself to bad choices.
Yeah.
Instead of writing your good choices. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Next week, I am out as I start the beginning of Pilgrimage.
What?
Pilgrimage.
What?
I'm confused.
Go to a powwow? Yeah.
Tuesday, I'll be in Bend. I get home on Wednesday, and then Thursday, I leave for the Gorge.
Oh.
We're gonna do 4 shows in 6 days.
You and that damn Dave Matthews.
I will see you there.
At the Gorge?
Yes, I'm going to head up. I think that Sunday show works best for me since we're all off on Labor Day, so my wife and I are going to make a day of it, and we're going to head up for that Sunday show.
Well, I'll be there. Probably a shell of myself, but I'll be there.
I'll buy you a beer, brother.
I'll be there. What are my Sunday tickets? Do I get paid on Sunday? I don't remember. But some fun things to look around the league. Red Sox beat the Astros, which is music to everyone's ears if you don't hate the Red Sox like I do. The Angels beat the Royals. I love that the Royals are making a serious push to get to the playoffs. That's really, really fun. Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2. Braves, Phillies. I watched some of this game. That was actually a really entertaining game, especially for national television on TBS. Zach Wheeler did really well until he gave up a bomb to Ozuna in the sixth.
Dude, the Phillies might give up not just the one seed, but the two seed. They are now tied with the Brewers for the second best record.
That would be absolutely wild. The division is theirs, but it would be wild to see that. Orioles beat the Mets. So they stave off that. And honestly, the game of the day right now is Guardians beat the Yankees 9-5. That game was 3-3 going into extras. And in the 12th, the Indians got 6 runs off that bullpen. That is a preview of the American League playoffs. And if the Cleveland Guardians, whose offense is really meh, can tag 6th and the 12th off the Yankees, you should be very concerned if you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I mean, was it Clay Holmes? He blew another save the other night.
Leads the league in it.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, I know we've talked about this a little bit now about no great team, but every one of these best teams in the league has a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a major flaw at that. Like, Orioles, every one of their starting pitchers' arms is falling off.
And Burns kind of got hit around last time he threw, which is just one, but when everybody's hurt, that's scary.
Yeah, Yankees, Clay Holmes is a huge problem for them in pitching. Cleveland Guardians, starting pitching for them. The Houston Astros right now are looking like the
most
best
complete team
in baseball.
Yeah.
Damn it!
With Verlander back tomorrow or Thursday. Yeah. I didn't see that coming. There's a great game on right now, and that's Twins-Padres. Two teams really fighting. It's 6-5 in the bottom of the eighth.
You'd say the Padres are probably the best team in baseball the way that they're playing. I mean, best record since the All-Star break.
And the Twins are no slouch in the American League. Like, the Twins have been kind of the, you know, I use this term a lot, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. The Twins have been really good. Royce Lewis seems to be staying healthy, and they're still waiting on Carlos Correa to get off the DL, but they're playing well. They're playing well.
Yeah.
Mariners leading the Dodgers 3-2 in the fifth.
Yeah, oh, but Ohtani's already hit a triple. I'm
going to say that's not going to last long.
No, it's not.
Yeah, as far as teams that have just choked it towards the back half of the season, I mean, the Phillies are 11-18 since the All-Star break.
That's really bad. That team on paper, you were asking me earlier about teams on paper. That team on paper, you've got Harper, Schwarber, Turner, Realmuto, Castellanos, Stott, Alec Bohm. I just named 7.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the...
Should be a loaded offense.
Got multiple links here, and I'm getting all thrown around and bamboozled here. 11-18 since the All-Star break. The Cardinals, they were kind of competing for a wild card spot. They have completely fallen off of a cliff as well.
Yeah, the NL Central has been extremely disappointing to me this year.
It was going to be.
I really thought it was going to be fun.
I did too. That was one of the, I remember when we did our divisional preview, we were like, dude, this could be the most competitive division in baseball with the Cubs.
The Cruz kids in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, like O'Neill and Ellie, like we thought they were going to be, and Ellie has been amazing. Like that's no shot at Ellie, but O'Neill has been a little, I thought the Cubs were going to win the division and boy, they suck.
Yeah.
And I don't know which direction they want to go. They let go of Hector Neris today. It's like, okay, well, you still got to pay him, and you're not going anywhere, so why not just have him throw? I don't know.
It's very bizarre season as far as teams we thought were going to be good or interesting, and again, the teams that kind of separated themselves from the pack, but still it's like not really separating themselves as much this year. Again, the Orioles and Yankees in the post-All-Star break, I mean, they are 500 teams, basically. Yankees 15-12, Orioles 16-15, the Guardians since All-Star break 14-15.
Yeah, just come back down to earth a little bit. Let me ask you a question a little bit about the Diamondbacks. Okay, Christian Walker still on the DL, though he's taking swings. Should be back in a week or so. Is the Ketel Marte injury their death nail, or can they survive that? Because he got hurt. It was a little bit of like Kyle Tucker. Like, it looked like nothing big, and then he was out, and then he came back and was like, oh, I can't go. And you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. And then he came back again and was like, I really can't go. Obviously, it's alarming because he is a huge force, but will they survive this?
He has had such a great season, man. Like, he has been... He has made up for a lot of inconsistencies in that lineup as well. Like, him and Lourdes Gurriel... Like Jock Peterson, like those guys have been carrying this team this year.
Josh Bell acquisition at the deadline looks huge for them.
That helped. So yeah, I think it is huge not having him because he has been your most consistent bat all year long. He's going to finish top five MVP.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can't have him for this stretch run, I mean, like playoffs are feeling pretty good right now. At this point.
Yeah, you think we're set?
But yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the wild card, the team that's holding to that last wild card spot in the National League besides the Padres and the Diamondbacks is the Braves. They're holding on to that.
No one believes in the Mets.
No, not really. I mean, they kind of had a nice little run right there, run there in the middle of the season with Grimace, but the Braves,
They can't play defense. They feel like a little league team.
The Braves, though, I mean...
Which is hilarious because they have the best defensive shortstop in baseball.
And listen, it's 2.5 games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things could change literally this weekend.
Right.
And the way that the Braves... I mean, Austin Riley, he's probably looking like he's done for the year.
Yeah.
Like, again, another Braves player is injured. Tell me when you've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, and Gio Urshela has had an okay season in Detroit. But they basically let him go because they were like, hey, you can go find a team to play for. We don't want you in the future. And, yeah, do you know that the Braves, their best starting nine lineup has only played one game together this year?
This
and
season
that was
opener.
Opening day.
Yeah. Not surprised. Again, like, dudes have just been falling apart on that team. And it's unfortunate, too, when you get a career year out of Chris Sale.
It's insane what Chris Sale is doing. Yeah. I hate it with all fires and beings in my body. But, yeah, he's going to win the Cy Young.
I mean, is he?
Yeah, I think so.
2.62 ERA, 14 wins, which I think is tied for the most in
Nobody
the
cares about wins.
What are you talking about? Trying to restore the greatness of the starting pitcher, Patrick.
How many innings did he pitch?
Did we talk about this earlier?
How many innings has he pitched?
He's at 140, which...
Oh, that's surprising. I thought it was higher than that.
Well, the highest inning total for a pitcher this year so far is like around the 166 mark. Again, we need to restore the greatness of the starting pitcher. What is happening?
Minimum 6 innings only. All right, well, that'll do it for us. There's a lot to still digest for the baseball season. I'll be out next week, but these two will hold it down, and I'll see you the week after that as we get into September. And that's the final stretch. Have we said the last thing we need to say about the Mariners? We'll see how that goes. Plus, there's a lot to just keep eyes on as wild card race heats up and see how guys go down the stretch. Plus, we have awards and things like that we got to think about. Outside of that, that'll do it for us. For Jordan Schultz, that's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.